Thank you, Sheldon. And I'd like to thank the organizers of this workshop. This is a really great event, and I'm very happy to be here. So this talk is about a little project, and I should recognize that the work is joint work with a former graduate student from Western. And also, I couldn't resist including a version of the new Western logo on my title slide here. Okay, so here's a little outline of the talk. I'll begin with some background and motivation, because this is something that's quite different from any other work that I've done, so I should say a little bit about how this came about. Then I'm going to show some data that I'll be using to illustrate the method that I'll be discussing, and then get into some of the notation and assumptions behind what I'm doing. And then the basic idea is that I'm dealing with pension plan termination rates, so rates at which members of a pension plan terminate either by quitting their job or being fired. And so I'm constructing an adjusted table that reflects the experience of the plan, and then using credibility to weight that adjusted table with a standard table to get estimates of the termination rates. So a couple of years ago now, at least a couple of years ago, I received a phone call from the person who was then the chair of the Society of Actuaries pension section, and he wanted me to give him some suggestions for academics who could serve on the pension section research committee. And so I thought about this, and I couldn't really think of very many academics who are doing pension research, and the older I get, the more interested I am in retirement and my own pension. And so I thought, well, this might be kind of fun. So I volunteered myself to be on this research committee, and so I've been doing that for a couple of years now. And a lot of what this group talks about is very unfamiliar to me, but occasionally there is something that I feel like I understand at least a little bit. And one of the items of discussion was work related to credibility, and a pension actuary here in Toronto named Gavin Benjamin did some work a few years ago on applying credibility theory to mortality in order to come up with mortality rates to use for a pension plan. And what they wanted to do was extend this to non-mortality decrements, and the thinking was that this may be a little bit more complicated, and so they were trying to think of how they might go about generating this work. And I thought, well, I've taught credibility a few times, and this might be sort of a nice project for a graduate student. So I said, okay, we'll take this on. And so my graduate student and I started a little less than a year ago to work on this. And so we did meet with Gavin Benjamin, because he had a lot of ideas about what they were after. And our objectives were to adjust a standard table of termination rates to reflect the experience of a particular pension plan. And in doing so, we wanted to allow for various influential variables, and I've listed a few here, and some of the ones that Gavin was quite interested in are the year effects. So the fact that an employer might have something significant going on in a particular year where there are an unusual number of terminations in that year, but in other years may be quite different. And so it was going to be important to allow for this possibility. And then, of course, there's also the possibility that the economy affects the terminations. And and so we needed to allow for the ability to reflect economic variables as well. And one of the things that's also important, just because different employer pension plans can involve very, very different groups of individuals, and the type of work can be very different, and as a result, it's not clear that the pattern of the termination rates with age or with year of service would be similar for quite different employee groups. And so we wanted to allow for the possibility that we might modify that pattern as well. And then the plan was to use limited fluctuation credibility theory to adjust to weight the adjusted table with the standard table. And that's the credibility method that Gavin had used, and that's the approach that seemed to be accepted. So here's the standard table that we used, and this was created a few years ago by Jed Fries based on contributions from a large number of pension plans to a study. And so you can see that, so these are the termination rates or turnover per 100 lives, and you can see that the rates are decreasing with age and also decreasing with year of service. And at the early years of service and younger ages, the termination rates are quite high, and that's not surprising. People will often change jobs relatively quickly early on. So this is our standard table. And here is a brief summary of the data that we're using just to illustrate the methods. And what we wanted was some data that wasn't going to be fully credible. And so we wanted data from a relatively small plan, because a lot of the plans that contributed to the study that standard table was based on are huge. And so we wanted to work with a smaller. So there's about 400 employees involved here, and they're observed over 2 years, and so you can kind of see what's going on. So if you look at the both column in 1999, we started with 303 employees at the beginning of the year, and then 49 of them were hired during the year, 45 terminated during the year. And then in 2000, same idea. And if you look at those numbers, they don't seem to be consistent, do they? Because you would expect that we would go into 2000 with 307 employees starting, right? And so it's the fact that this is pension plan data as opposed to just employee data. So we've got some individuals who were hired before the beginning of 2000, but didn't actually join the plan until sometime during 2000. We have no information about the date at which an individual joins the plan, but when they join the plan, they're credited with service right from when they're hired, and so the date of hire is the date that's important. So we have some individuals here who weren't observed in 1999, even though they were employed then, because they hadn't joined the plan yet. So the other thing you see from this is that we've got a total of 97 terminations in the 2 years combined. Here's a little more detail in the data, and I'm going to skip right over that. So I think the super deluxe version of this talk will include a discussion of some of the numbers in that table, but much of what I wanted to talk about is actually in the graphs that I'm about to show you. So this first one shows some actual to expected ratios. So actual number of terminations to expected number of terminations, where the expected number of terminations is calculated based on that standard table. And so this is by age group and by sex. And one of the things that we notice here is that the females, except at the young age group, seem to have higher terminations than the males. Here's what we have when we look at it by years of service. And again, the females are looking like they've got higher terminations than the males at each, or for each year of service group. Then we also looked at it by salary quintile, because we have salary information in each year for all of these plan members. And when we do this, the male-female differences almost go away. The termination rates for males and females by salary quintile is really quite similar. In the high salary group, we've got a lot of variability because there aren't very many. So this suggested that if we reflect salary in our modeling, then maybe the sex differences aren't going to be important, and that's actually what we find. So now to what we actually did, and so here's a little bit of notation. We, rather than working with probabilities of termination, we're working here with forces of termination. And so this mu x s y j is the force of termination for someone age x, meaning between x and x plus 1, for someone with s years of service in calendar year y, and its individual j. And so this is the true force, and we're assuming that it is constant. So we've got a piecewise constant forces, so constant between integer ages, between integer years of service, within calendar years. And then the mu with the superscript E is going to be our standard force of termination, and again we're going to assume that it's constant, piecewise constant. And then we've got two estimated forces of termination, which will come from our data, or our data and the standard table. And so the superscripts there are A for adjusted and C for the credibility estimates. Capital E XSYJ is going to represent the exact exposure. So this is how much time individual J was observed for between age X and X plus 1, and between S and S plus 1 years of service during calendar year Y. And then N with the same subscripts is giving us the corresponding observed number of terminations, which can be 0 or 1 because it's for a specific individual who can only terminate once. And then, of course, if we sum all of those, we get the total number of terminations, and in our data set, that total number is 97. So then before I actually get to the way that we're doing the modeling, a few more assumptions we're making. I'm letting lambda be, we want to say something about the number of terminations, and the number of terminations at a given age, year of service, calendar year, for a particular individual. So we need to condition on something about how we're making the observations, and to make things fairly simple, I'm conditioning on the observed exposure. And this is kind of a common actuarial thing, to condition on the exposure. And then I'm assuming that conditional expectation is just equal to the force of termination multiplied by the exact exposure. And that's only going to be approximate. And then I'm also defining the corresponding quantity based on the standard force of termination. So that's the lambda with the superscript E. And then finally, I'm assuming that given the exposure, the actual number of terminations, which we know is either 0 or 1, I'm assuming it has a Poisson distribution. And so hopefully the probability of termination is small enough that that Poisson assumption is reasonable. And I'm going to come back to this a little bit later. So what this means then is that when we consider the distribution of the total number of terminations given the collection of exposure values, we're going to have something that also has a Poisson distribution, and the parameter, the mean of that distribution, is going to be assumed to be the sum of the forces of termination times the exposure values. So, if you've absorbed all of that, let's now go to the model that we're using. And so what we're going to assume is that our true force of termination, our mu XSYJ, is equal to the standard force, which depends only on X and S, age and year of service, multiplied by the exponential of a linear function of some explanatory variables. And so those are up to us to specify the explanatory variables that we want to include in the model and decide which ones actually need to be in the model. And so the example that I'm considering here is, here we've got a vector that U is a vector with 5 components, and one of the components is the actual age. So that's going to allow us to adjust the slope of our termination rates with age if we need it to be different from what's in the standard table. And then S is also one of the components, so we can adjust the slope with service. We've also got an indicator of the sex of the individual, some function of the individual's salary in year J, so the BYJ is the salary for individual J in year Y, and then also we've got an indicator that it's the year is 1999, and so of course if it's not, we know it's 2000 because in this data set we've only got 2 years involved. We could also have taken some function of the age or some function of the years of service. So there's lots of possibilities that we tried, and we did try some different possibilities. But this is the basic model. So we're taking our standard table, and then we're multiplying it by something that may depend on X, S, Y, and J. And then if we take that first equation and multiply through by the exposure, then we actually get this equation according to our assumptions. And then when we take the log, it's fairly apparent that what we have here is a log linear Poisson regression model with an offset term that reflects our expected terminations. And so this is really, really easy to fit. And so we fit this model using R, and it's one step once we've calculated everything that we need as the input for this. And so here are some results, and basically what we're ending up with is, here are our, I guess I should back up a little bit. So the final model we ended up with actually only included one explanatory variable that involves the salary of the individual. So we didn't need to adjust the slope with age or service, and we didn't need to reflect the sex of the individual. It was enough to just include something about salary, and we found that the best way of doing that was just to have a threshold where the termination rates are different for someone with a salary less than $36,200 than they are for someone with a salary greater than that. And then specifically, what we end up with are these adjusted forces of termination. So for the high salary group, it's almost the standard table, and for the low salary group, it's almost three times the standard table. And then the other thing that we can do is we can, once we've determined these forces, these estimates, we can then determine the estimate of lambda, but because we're using maximum likelihood estimation and because lambda is, we have a Poisson distribution for n and lambda is the mean of that distribution, we just end up with our total number of terminations as the estimate. So then the application of limited fluctuation credibility theory is very simple. It's just the usual thing that we have when we've got a Poisson distribution. So what we're trying to limit the fluctuation of is that the estimator of the mean. And so in our example, the number of terminations required for full credibility is a number that may even look familiar to people, 1082.41. We only have 97, so we're going to have to use partial credibility, and then we can calculate our credibility factor, and it's about 0.3. So we can then determine our credibility estimates of the force of termination, and here's what we get. So once again, for the high salary group, it's almost the standard table value. For the low salary group, it's higher, but not three times. So just to finish up then, we can use a Poisson regression model. It's very convenient to use a Poisson regression model to do the adjusting of the standard table to reflect the experience of the group, and then that's what gets the credibility factor Z. The Poisson assumption is actually, if we hadn't even thought about that and instead thought about our observations as left truncated, possibly right censored survival times and used our model, then we end up with exactly the same likelihood that we do for this Poisson regression model, and so our estimates would have been exactly the same. But by making this assumption, it leads us to the fitting approach that we used, which works nicely. But also it gets us thinking a little bit about the variance and the fact that we need to think about whether or not we have over dispersion here, and while that's not going to affect our adjusted table, it certainly will affect our credibility factor. And so one of the things that we're studying right now is how to go about, because the standard approaches for doing that don't really work with this kind of data. So we're looking at that, and something else that may be of concern is using a single credibility factor here and applying it to everything, because I think one can imagine situations where that might not work so well. So I think I'm probably almost out of time, so I'll stop now and see. see if there are any questions.